Good morning. Today's daf, Baba Kama, Samech Aleph. We're on Samech Amid Beis. We are towards the bottom of the Amud. We're going to be starting with Psukim today, here in the sixth parak of the Masechta. We're finishing up, not the sixth parak today, but shortly. A couple days from now, we'll be done with the sixth parak. And the Gemara over here has been focusing on Eish. Last number of Mishnayos over here in the sixth parak deal with Eish. And so we continue with topics of Eish. We're going to be learning a couple psukim and Navi. David is having a war with the Plishtim. That part's easy. In other words, if you look in the psukim I tried this morning, made an effort. So for sure he's warring with the Plishtim. Now there's a back and forth between him and these warriors, Giborim, and it's really unclear exactly what the back and forth is. If you try to read the psukim inside, I did this morning. I tried. So you get some sort of sense that there's a struggle. They're having some sort of debate. What exactly they're debating is really unclear in the Pesukim. So we have a Mesorah, we have a tradition. And so what the Gemara is going to give us is a tradition in terms of what exactly the back and forth was. And obviously, why is all this here? Meaning this is there's not a Navish here, it's a Daf Yomi, it's a Gemara, Baba Kama. So obviously it has something to do with Eish. Let's see it all together inside the Pasuk. So the pasuk reads, "Vayisav David v'yomer mi yashkeni mayim mibora beis lechem asher b'shar." Okay, so here in the pasukim, this is Shmuel Beis Perchav Gimel pasuk Tes Vav. So mi yashkeni mayim, who's going to be giving me water to drink? So over here, the Gemara's understanding is that a lot of allegory. Water over here is a reference to Torah. Shar is a reference to the Beis Din. So in other words, he had a shaila. That's the Gemara's understanding. So and then next pasuk, vayivku shloshes hagiborim b'machane plishim vayishavu mayim mibor beis lechem asher b'shar. So here comes the giborim, and shloshes hagiborim, three warriors, and they went to the machane plishim and they drew water from beis lechem, and then I'm just going to read a little bit more in the pasukim we don't have in the Gemara. Vayisu vayaviu el David v'lo aval lishtosam. So they brought it to David. He didn't want to drink it. Okay, so again, b'derech hamashal. Now, basically, what happened was there was a shiloh. We don't know what the shiloh is at this point in time. They brought it to David. David said no. He said no. Okay. As ambiguous as one could get, the Gemara now is going to wonder. So now we have the psukim, but what exactly was the back and forth over there? The Gemara is going to give not one but three different opinions. What the back and forth was. Amar Rava. Amar Rav Nachman Taman Beish Kami Ba'ilei. Ik Rabbi Yehuda, Ik Rabbanan. U'pashtalei ma'de pashtalei. So response number one. This is Rav Huna's Masara. Sorry, Rav is Masara. And that is that they asked him a question about Taman Beish. Meaning, let's say we burn a fire. Let's say that which was burned was covered. So are you part of your chayv? It's machlok between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim. And what David HaMelech wanted to know was, who's the halacha follow? Does it follow like Rabbi Yehuda, or does it follow like the Chachamim? Obviously, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim come well after David HaMelech. I say well after, we're talking over 1,000 years later. It doesn't matter. In other words, what Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim are doing here is expressing a machlokus, which has been around for hundreds, and has been around for a really long time. Right? I'm not going to give a number because I don't know. But in other words, the expression of the machlokus comes to us via Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim, but the machlokus existed for some time earlier. I'm just saying this by way of analogy, right? Which tefillin, what tefillin should we be wearing? So we wear a tefillin called Rashi tefillin, right? And meanwhile, there's another tefillin, which is Rabbeinu Tam. Machlokus Rashi, Rabbeinu Tam, how to put the parshios in the order, what the sequence of the parshios are in the Shel Rosh. And so it's based on an understanding of the Gemara Menachos. Anyway, so some people put on Rashi. Well, let's do that again. Everyone puts on Rashi. Some people also put on Rabbeinu Tam. Good. So anyway, so you mean to tell me that before the 12th century, we didn't know which tefillin to wear? So we did know, and all of a sudden Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam come up with a machlokus? So no. In other words, the machlokus existed before Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. Well before them, they just simply gave voice to the machlokus. We know the machlokus is a machlokus between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, but obviously that machlokus existed earlier. Same thing over here. Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim, Taman Beish, Yipat, Yechayev, it's a machlokus, and Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim have been around, that machlokus has been around for generations earlier. Good. So, and what does that have to do anything with the narrative of the story in the Navi Shmuel Beis? Seemingly nothing. That's not an original thought. The Gemara is going to make that point. We're going to see that point together. Number two. In other words, second opinion in terms of what the machlokus was between, or what was David asking? What was the answer? And in just a moment, we're going to wonder, why did David reject or decline? So Ravuna Amar Gedishim Desarim Disrael Havu Dahavu Mitamri Plishim Behu Bekami Bayi Lelatz Elatzmo Bemamun Chavero V'Shachu Leyas Elatz Elatzmo Bemamun Chavero Ava Ata Melech Ata Ula Melech Poreitz Lasos Lo Derech Ve'in Mochim Yado. Okay. So according to Ravuna, it went like this. They were Plishim, and what were they doing? They were hiding. Where were they hiding? In the Seorim, in the barley. Barley belonged to Jews. And so in order to smoke out the Plishtim, or better stated, to burn the Plishtim, so what they had to do is they had to burn the Sorim of a Jew. So in other words, they had to destroy other people's property, but in doing so, they're saving themselves. So are you allowed to do that? Are you allowed to save yourself by burning other people's property? And they said to him, look, for most people, it's going to be Usher, but you're a Melech, you could do it. Okay. The way I just presented the Gemara Tosu says, do not listen. That's not the correct way to present the Gemara. So Tosu over here is steadfast that if the question is saving your life, of course you can go ahead and destroy the people's property. Meaning it's not one of the Yavors, it's not one of the big three. And so over here you're talking about Pikuach Nefesh, you're talking about saving life, the Chai Bahem. Torah says that we should be living by the Torah, not dying by the Torah. If it just means other people's property, of course, go ahead and save yourself. Tosos says, right here, on our daf, Tosos says that the only question that we're asking is whether or not there needs to be a reimbursement. That's the question according to Tosos. Okay. Much discussion regarding this. There seems to be a Rashi right here on this daf, the last Rashi in the Amud, which seems to present the Gemara the way I originally presented it. But the vast majority of the Rishonim, including Tosos over here, says it like Tosos, and that, of course, you're allowed to save your life. The only question on the table is whether or not there's a reimbursement. We're gonna present the Gemara like that. That's the simple way to explain the Gemara. Okay, Virabanan, and now we up to a third opinion of what was the exchange between David and his warriors. Virabanan v'itema Rabba Bar Mari Amru Gidishim Desarim Yisrael Havu Gidishim Da Dashin De Plishtim. Okay, so in version number three, it went like this. There was barley that belonged to Jews. And what David HaMelech needed to do was feed his army, feed the animals of his army. So what he wanted to do was he wanted to take the Seorim of the Jews. And in other words, how is he going to pay back? Well, we're about to go to war, and we're about to fight the Plishim, and we're about to take all the spoils of the war. So we'll pay back with spoils of the war. So can I do that? Can I go ahead and borrow now? Now, I'm saying borrow right now. Probably you should use a stronger word than borrow. Take. Okay, let's in fact use a stronger word. Can we take the barley now? And then what we'll do is we'll pay back with spoils of war, future spoils of war. So shachulei. So on that question, what did they answer? Shachulei chavol yashiv Rasha gzela yishalem afa pisha gzela mishalem Rasha who? So you steal something, you pay back. You know what you're called? You're called the thief. Okay, and you can't steal. But I paid back. That's great. Mazel tov. You're still a thief. So avata melachato melach paritz lasos lo derech vein mochim biado. But you're a melech. So in other words, so you could do it. You could take. Now, that's why I was a little bit careful in my language originally because, in other words, a king is not allowed to steal. In other words, but for a king, it's not called stealing. In other words, he's a king. And this is obviously of national security. Right? I'm just using modern terms, but right, it's national security. So for you, you're allowed to do it. Right? For anybody else, it'd be gzela and you're not allowed to do it. But in other words, you and your position and what you represent and the war cause, so therefore you're allowed to do it. Okay. What do we have so far on the table? We had an exchange between David and his Giborim, and the Navi itself is incredibly vague, opaque, about what they were discussing, and the Gemara here gave us not one but three different opinions of what exactly the exchange was. And now the Gemara is going to do what it classically does, and that is, which of these interpretations seem to be the best fit? So the third pshat, says the Gemara, seems to be the best. Why? Because the story is told over in Shmuel Beis, right, as we quoted above, and repeated in Divrei Yamin, with a couple of discrepancies. Right now, the Gemara is pointing out one major discrepancy, and that is that in the pasuk in Divrei Yamim, it says barley. In the pasuk in Shmuel Beis, it says adashim, lentils. So in other words, the third pshat does a great job describing and explaining the discrepancy. Because again, what did he want to do? He wanted to take the barley of Jews and replace them with future spoils of the adashim of the Plishtim. Okay, good. So now we have a narrative that also explains the discrepancy between the psukim. But elaman damar mikle, but according to the second explanation where he wanted to burn the plishdim, so mayi bai lulani trei krai. How do you explain the discrepancy of barley and lentils? Amlacha davunami gedishim da'adashim disol davu metamre behu plishdim. So the Gemara says, okay, you know what? We'll just say like this. Where were the plishdim hiding? In various piles. Some plishdim were hiding in a pile of barley, and some were hiding in a pile of lentils. Okay. So we can explain the discrepancy. Bishlam laman damar limikle hainu dichsi vayitzase besocha chelka vayatzi leha. So if the pshat of is number two, which is that he wanted to burn the plishim who were hiding in the pile of grain, so you understand that when David originally demurred, when he originally said no, so the pasuk says vayatzi leha, and he saved them. He saved the plishim, meaning by electing not to burn the piles, he said, I'm going to save them. Fits him well. But Elaman Damar Lachlufe Mai Vayatzi Leha. But if all he wanted to do was borrow and pay back with future spoils, what does it mean David saved? So the Gemara says, Delo Shavak Le Lachlufe. Yeah, but in other words, even when we're talking about money, in other words, we have the same expression in English. You're saving money. So that's how you understand Vayatzi Leha. Bishlamani Tarti Haini Dichsiv Trei Krai. Okay, now, what we did is that we explained pshat number two and pshat number three, with the discrepancy of the psukim in Divrei Yamim and Shmuel Beis. But Elaman Damar, we're on the top of Samach Aleph Amud Aleph. Elaman Damar, Taman Beish Kami Baile, Mayi Baile Krai. But if you're going to go with the first pshat, where he was asking a shayla on Taman Beish, and their response is, whatever they responded, we don't even know what they responded. Meaning, so what are you doing now with the discrepancy of barley versus lentils? So I'm lecha taman v'chad mehanach kamei baile. So the Gemara says, okay. So even if you're going to go with the first pshat, that's Rava's pshat, that he was asking a question of taman beish, he was also asking about either explanation number two or explanation number three, whichever one. So bishlam laman damar nitarte hani dichsi velo ava David lishtosam and amar kemedika yisur lo nichali. So now, in explanation number two, in explanation number three, so what happened? So it was either a question of, am I allowed to burn the plishtim, even though I'm burning other people's property in doing so? And am I allowed to save myself with other people's property? And again, according to Tosos, do I have to reimburse? Right. Or number three, where can I borrow now or take now with a future payment of spoils of war? So in either one of those circumstances, you understand lo avalishtosam, where David said, no, I don't think it's right. Right? Either pshat number two, pshat number three. We understand why David said no. But if you're going with the first pshat, where it was just a shayla, am I chayv in taman beish, am I pater in taman beish? So michti gamarahu deshachalei. My lo avalishtosam. David didn't want to drink from that water. Again, water over here meaning Torah. Meaning David didn't want to accept it. What do you mean David didn't want to accept it? He asked a question on Taman Beish. It's a machlokes between the Chacham and Rabbi Yehuda. They gave him an answer. Okay. Well, David says, I reject the answer. You're asking a question of halacha. They told him what the halacha is. No, I don't. What does that mean, I don't accept? So, Delo Amin Mishmayu. So Amar Kach Mekublan Mi Beis Din Shmuel Aramasi Kol Amos Ratz Mal Amos Al Devar Torah Einam Davar Halacha Mishmal. So what David HaMelech refused to do is that he accepted the halacha, but when he repeated the halacha, he didn't say it in their name. Okay. Generally speaking, when you are quoting a halacha in the name of somebody, name that individual. Right? The kol ha omra b'shem omro mevis agula. In other words, attribution is incredibly important, aside from the basics of intellectual honesty, but aside from that, meaning it's part of the Masara and that you need to name it based on whoever gave you the halacha. Here, David refused to, in other words, he accepted the halacha, but he wouldn't say in their name. Why? So, interesting explanation of the Gemara. And he has a Kabbalah from the basin of Shmuel, and that is that what they did is they risked their lives in order to get them this halacha, and you're not allowed to do that. And if you risk your life in order to get a halacha, so we're not going to give you the attribution. Okay. Now, there are numerous Gemaras that say that basically you should kill yourself over Torah, but obviously that doesn't mean literally kill yourself. It means is that you should live an extraordinarily simple life and really dedicate and devote yourself to the learning of Torah and not enjoy the luxuries and the pleasures of this world. Okay. Over here, they, meaning these Gibarim, literally almost killed themselves in terms of getting that halacha. And that wasn't right and that wasn't proper. Okay. Bishlama, I'm sorry. Vayasech Osam LaHashem. Okay. And now, we're at the end of that Pasuk in Shmuel Beis. And so what did he do? So he did a nisuch, a libation of that water, LaHashem. And again, water over here, not meaning actual water, but water over here meaning Torah. So what does that mean? Laman damar hanitarte. So mishum David l'shem shamayim. Okay, so according to the first pshat, according to the second pshat, so what does that mean? He was menasech es hamayim l'Hashem. It means that he did it l'shem shamayim, meaning he at first declined, he refrained, but then they told him you're a melech and therefore you're allowed to do it, and he did it for the right reason, meaning because of this dispensation that was given to him, he did it for the right reason. But if the whole thing was Taman Be'esh, so what does it mean, Vayasech Osam LaHashem? Again, according to the first pshat, it's only a shayla that they asked him. And they gave him an answer. And now, David HaMelech really dedicated himself. What does that mean? So, Da'amina Mishmet de Gemara. So the Gemara says is that whenever he said over the halacha, so he said over the halacha, but he said it over anonymously. In other words, he would not give him attribution, and that's what he did, L'shem Shamayim. Okay. I'd kind of take this first part of today's daf. Really an unusual piece of Gemara in terms of trying to just wrap its head around how to understand those psukim in Shmuel Beis. Gemara offered three different pshatim, and the Gemara then litigated which of those really fit in better to the words. Okay, I encourage, by the way, I tried it this morning, not with a lot of success, but I went through the psukim inside and really tried to navigate the psukim inside. They're really hard psukim to read, just simple pshat in the psukim. Which is, in effect, why the Gemara believes that we go beyond the simple pshat, the psukim. Okay. For the remainder of today's daf, so we're going to be focusing on Eish. Like I said, we are now here at the end, towards the end of the sixth parak of the Masechta. So we get to talk about Eish here through the end. And by the way, the end is tomorrow, right? Yes, I'm correct. What a moment. Samach Beis, Amud Beis. So we finished the sixth parak, and obviously tomorrow I'll introduce the seventh parak. But meanwhile, let's get underway. Avra Gedushu Gavo Arba Amos. Oh, Derech Harabim. Oh, Nahar Potter. Okay, so you started firing your property, and there were either natural barriers or man-made barriers. But there were barriers that were supposed to stop the fire. In other words, and Bederech HaTeva, the fire should have stopped. Now the fire happened to have made an unbelievable jump, right? A jump that was beyond your expectation. Okay, so then you're going to be pater. The Mishnah doesn't say this, but I assume then we're in the category of onis, something along those lines. So what is expected to stop a fire? A wolf or amos high, or derech harabim, right? A public road, 16 amos wide, or a nahar. So any one of those circumstances. So now. The expectation is the fire is not going to jump that, the wall or the road or the river. And if it does, you're going to be potter. Now, Vahatanya, so the Gemara right away notes that we have a brisa that seems to have a small discrepancy. It's not a small discrepancy. I take it back. It's a big discrepancy. A 4-amah wall, and the fire jumped over the 4-amah wall, you're going to be chayev. Armisha said pata, the brisa says chayev. So Amra Papa Tanadi Danka Khashiv Milamatalamata. Shesha must pater Khamisha must pater Ada Abrahamus Pater Tanabura Milamatalamalaka Khashiv Shte Amos Chayev Shoshamus Chayev Ad Arba Amos Chayev. Okay. So the Gemara gives a very technical answer. There is no steer between the Mishnah and the Braisa. Here, let's do the Mishnah. And that is, our Mishnah was basically saying, right, you have a wall, let's say the wall's 6 amas high, you're exempt. Let's say it's 5 amas high, you're exempt. Let's say it's 4 amas high, you're exempt. Anything below that, you're no longer exempt. Yeah. Now let's do the same thing with the Braisa. The wall is 2 amas high, not high enough, you're chayev. The wall is 3 amas high, not high enough, you're chayev. Up to, right, I'm choosing my words carefully, up to 4 amas high, but not including 4 amas high, so then you're going to be chayev. Once you hit 4 amas high, you're going to be pater. And Rashi does note over here that it's a creative way to resolve the discrepancy. But one obviously subscribes to Adva Ad Bichlal, and the other one subscribes to Adva Lo Ad Bichlal. Good, Rashi makes that point. Amar Rava. Arba Amash Amru De Pater Afilu B'Stei Kotzim. So what if the field is really flammable? Right, Kotzim. Right? Already a couple times here in our parak we noted that the kotzim, the thorns, are really flammable. So is the wall going to be a barrier? And Rava says yes. Yes. Even if we're talking about a field made up of stay kotzim. Am Rapapa, misfas kotzim lamal arba amos. Rapapa says yes, I agreed. But let's say some of the thorns are going up the wall. I need space between the end of the kotzim and the top of the wall of 4 amas. There needs to be 4 amas of wall that's free and clear of kotzim. Meaning if, let's say, the kotzim are like vines going up the wall, so then the wall is not a halachic barrier. That's going to create pitur. Amar Rav Lo Shanu Ela, Bekolachas Ava B'nichfefes Afilu, Admei Amar Chayev, Ushmol Amar Masnisin, B'nichfefes Aval, Bekolachas Afilu Koshu Pater. Okay? This machlokas Rav and Shmuel, I'm going to present like Rashi. There are alternate ways to explain the Gemara, but again, like we do almost all the time, just go with a Rashi pshat over here, and that is that the Gemara here is describing different types of fires. The kolachis is a fire that goes straight up. The nechfefes is a fire that basically is a horizontal fire. Okay. Now, vertical fires, by the way, that we all speak to. What does that mean, a horizontal fire? A fire that's basically headed in different directions? So Rashi describes over here strong wind, okay, and so the fire no longer is vertical, it's horizontal. So according to Rav, right, a very aggressive fire. So according to Rav, everything we learned on our Mishnah, in other words, that what is a proper barrier that would impede progress of a fire, that's describing a vertical fire. However, if we're describing a horizontal fire, a nichfefes, literally nichfefes means it bends over. So if we're talking about a horizontal fire, so then even if it's 100 amas, you're going to be chayef. Meaning there is no barrier that would exempt you from paying for a fire that's nichfefes. Now, according to Shmuel Amar, Masnisin b'nichfefes. No, our Mishnah about a 4-amah wall, about a public street, about a river, so that's talking about an aggressive fire. That's talking about the horizontal fire. But if we're just talking about a vertical fire, afilu kol shehu, then any barrier would serve as a barrier. Meaning the fair expectation is that if what the fire that you're making is a vertical fire and it's only going up, so then you don't need the barriers that we described back in our Mishnah. Tanya Kavase Derav, the Gemara quotes a Braisa supporting Rav's position. Ba'med v'amamorim bikolachas avav benichfefes etzim amitzuyin lo afilo ad mea mil chayev. So over here in the Braisa, 100 mil. Okay, that's a lot. Avra Nahar Osh Lulisha Em Rechav Mishmona Amos Pater. Now, if it went, if the fire jumped over a river, or another type of river, right, probably more like a canal, and it's 8 amas, so then you're going to be pater. Okay, so the, anyway, but the point is that the Braisa is like Rav, in that the Braisa, when describing a, making a distinction between a vertical fire versus a horizontal fire, and the Braisa says that by a vertical fire, so again, go back to our Mishnah, for a horizontal fire, so then no barrier is going to be good enough. In other words, it could travel even as far as 100 mil. Derech HaRab, Imantan HaRab, Rebbe Lazar, Yididnan, Rebbe Lazar, Omer, Shesh Yisrei Amos, B'derech Rishos HaRabim. So, good. So, our Mishnah that says that if the fire jumps over Derech HaRabim, you're going to be Pater. And the Gemara just simply says that Shitas Rebbe Eliezer. Okay. The, good. Just giving attribution to our Mishnah. Rav Amar, Shitas Rav. We're on Samach Aleph Amud Aleph. We are towards the bottom of the Amud. Shitas Rav Onahar, Rav Amar, Nar Mamish, and Shmuel Amar, Arisa de Dalai. Okay. A river is going to be considered a natural barrier where if the fire jumps over the river, so then you're going to be potter. Because the expectation is that the fire is not going to jump over the river. Okay. In this statement of the Mishnah, so Rav says, when we say river, we just simply mean a canal. Doesn't have to have water in it. And according to Shmuel, no. The only thing that would impede a fire is a river or canal with water. Now the Gemara goes on to explain. So Amanda Amar Nahar Mamish Alpha Gavdalai Kamaya. Umanda Amar Arisa Delai Is Be Maya In Aval Leith Be Maya Lo. Good. So the Gemara says exactly what I just said. Right? But you know me. I prepared. I looked ahead. Good. So that means that according to Rav, it could be a dry river. In other words, but even though there's no water in it, it is considered a barrier. That the fair expectation is that the fire is not going to jump over it. And if it does, you're putter. And according to Shmuel, no. The only thing that we can safely expect to stop a fire is a river or a canal with water. So Tanan Hasam. So here we are looking at a Mishnah in Peah. This is the first Mishnah of the second parak. So, you have a field. What do you have to do? You have to demarcate and corner off a corner of the field, and that's going to be one of the matnosinim, one of the gifts to the poor. What if you have two fields? That's two payas. Three fields? Three payas. What creates division between fields? So that is what the Mishnah here is describing. That is a hafsaka lapeya, and that is going to be it's going to be either a nachal or shlulis a derech hayach, a derech harabim. Good. So any one of these would be considered a barrier separating fields. My shlulis and good. And now the Mishnah, one of the natural barriers being described over here is a shlulis. Okay, I was taught this morning in modern Hebrew, shlulis is a puddle.
What?
Puddle. Yeah. So I'm Rav Yehuda Mishmol, makam shemei gishamim sholalim sham. So, Lefi, Rav Yehuda, B'Shem Shmuel. So, basically, where the rainwater collects. Okay, good. Like a canal. like in modern Hebrew, a puddle. Rabibi Amar, Rabbi Yochanan, Amas Maim Shemechalek Shalal Agafeha. So, it's a more serious canal. Where basically, it's an irrigation canal. So, Manda Amar, Makum Shemeg Shamim Sholim Sham, Kol Shekein Amas Mayim. So, if your definition of Shlila is just simply where water aggregates. So then if we're talking about an irrigation canal, that for sure will separate a field. But Amanda Amar, Amas Mayim, but if you feel that the shlulis of the Mishnah Peah is an actual irrigation canal, so then Avamakum Shemek Sham Sholem, Sham Lo Mafsike. Why? Dehanu, we have in our Girsa, Bi'agne, the Aramikru. Basically, if we're talking about a shlulis in terms of a place where rainwater aggregates, you know what that is? I guess you can call it a puddle. A puddle. In other words, it's basically just part of the landscape. And it is not going to be a divider of fields. And you would only need one payah. The only thing that separates a field is only an irrigation canal. Okay, good. Okay, and why do we quote this Mishnah payah? Why do we just have this discussion? Very simple. Because in our Mishnah, so we said that a nahar is going to go ahead and separate. And what is the definition of nahar? So we had a machlokus between Rav and Shmuel. Similarly, it's not the same, but similarly, a machlokus between Rav and Shmuel of what the definition of the word shalula is in that Mishnah and Peah. Okay, a little bit of a digression. Hamalik besoch shalom. So ad kama tavor hadaleka. So here we are in the Mishnah on Samech Aleph Amid Beis, and that is you lit a fire in your own property, and ad kama tavor hadaleka. So now we're talking about merchak, we're talking about distance. In other words, previously we were talking about barriers. Barriers can go and impede the progress of the fire. Again, there's an expectation that the barrier can impede, and therefore if it jumps over the barrier, and again, the barrier is to code, so you're going to be potter. That was the previous Mishnah. In this Mishnah, we're just talking about merchak. We're talking about linear distance. So over here, there's no barrier, but what I did is I didn't light the fire at the edge of my property. I lit the fire interior to my property. How much linear distance does there need to be between the fire on my property and somebody else's property in order so that we can expect the fire not to spread? So, ad kama tavra adleika Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah amar rono sokilu hu b'emtza beis kor. So according to Shitas Rav Elazar ben Azariah, so middle of a base core. Okay, a little bit of numbers over here. A base core is going to be, and now the base core is an area, which means length and width. But obviously over here, we don't want an area. We just want a linear measurement, right? A single line measurement. So what we're going to do is that we're going to square the base core, and what we're really doing now is just simply giving the side of the base core. How much is a base core squared? So it's going to be 274 amma by 274. So the number 274. But in other words, but we don't need the full length. We just need to be in the middle of the base core. So what you're going to do is you're going to take that number and you're going to half it. Good. So that's the shita of Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah. So, right, 137. And Rebbe Elazar Omer Tezayin Amma, Keder Chushos HaRabim. Rebbe Elazar says, no, you only need 16 Amma. Okay, what a wide range discrepancy in terms of linear measurement. 173 Ammas versus 16 Ammas. Rebbe Kiva Omer Chamishim Amma. Rebbe Kiva says 50 Amma. Okay, so we have so far in the Mishnah three opinions. I'm just marveling at how wide a range we are from one from the other. Rebbe Shimon Omer, Shalem Yishalem Amma versa Be'era, Hakol Lefi Adleika. And Rabbi Shimon says, this is, I'm not going to subscribe to any given number. Why? Because not every fire is the same. There are big fires, there are little fires. So in other words, what merchak, what distance are we looking at in terms of when am I considered a responsible griller? Right? I'm making a fire in my backyard. So when am I responsible? It depends on how big a fire it is. So hakol lefi adleika. You cannot give a standard absolute number that would go ahead and be a safe distance from every single fire. You have little and big fires.
Isn't like not a strong wind, but some wind variable.
And wind would be okay. So
it's 10 dynamics from the center.
Yeah.
To the end.
Yes.
So you have that sign on every side.
Yeah, right.
You need twice that.
Right. The point is that I just need 16 amas from the fire to my neighbor's property.
Right.
Yeah. Correct. And a chinami. Now, v'leitha le Rabbi Shimon shir bit like the Gemara says. Now, wait one second. You mean to tell me that according to Rabbi Shimon, there's no shir hakol lefi adleika? There's no shir. What about the Mishnah Baba Basra? So hatanan lo yamid adam tanner betoch ba'is alim king geish agabo gova abramos and hayamamida ba'aliyah ashi etachtav maziva shoshet fachim uvekira tefach im hizik mishal mashi hizik and Rabbi Shimon Omer lo namer shirim halalu ella shim hizik potem elishalim. Okay, if you can forgive me, I'm not going to go through all the details, but basically you're putting an oven in your home, so you have to build it to code. In other words, there has to be enough distance between the oven and the floor above you. Or if you're on the second floor, there has to be enough insulation between your floor and the floor below you. Okay, and I'm not, you can read all the numbers inside. But in other words, you have to build it to code. Now, the Mishnah Baba Basra quotes Shitas Rabbi Eliezer, I'm sorry, Rabbi Shimon. And Lefi Shitas Rabbi Shimon, as long as you built it to code, and then what happens is that the oven burns the floor above you, but as long as you built it to code, you're going to be putter. What we see in this Mishnah Baba Basra is that Rabbi Shimon does subscribe to, there are, in fact, linear measurements, and as long as you conform to code, you're going to be putter. So how do you understand our Mishnah when the Mishnah says Hakol lefi hadleika? At first, meaning what I may have misled and I may have skewed the witnesses over here because I made the Mishnah stand out to be that Rabbi Shimon does have some sort of distance that he's comfortable with. Right now, the Gemara is not assuming that. Right now, the Gemara is assuming Rabbi Shimon is never comfortable with the distance. So I'm Rav Nachman, I'm Rav Avu, I call it the Govad Leika. Okay, so what the Gemara now is doing is really what I did when I read the Mishnah. I went ahead of myself, and that is that Hakol Lefi Govad Leika. Actually, when Rabbi Shimon our Mishnah says that everything is going to be relative to the fire, meaning if I have a big fire, I need big distance. If I have a small fire, I need little distance. Okay, now what the number actually is unclear, but unclear meaning the Gemara doesn't say. But for Rabbi Shimon, it's just there is no one number that can describe what is safe distance. Safe distance is going to be a function of how big a fire we're looking at. That's all. But but there is a safe distance. It's just a function of the fire. I'm Rav Yosef. I'm Rav Yud. I'm Rav Shmuel. Alachikar Rabbi Shimon. V'chein I'm Rav Nachman. I'm Rav Shmuel. Alachikar Rabbi Shimon. And the Gemara comes to a conclusion on this, and that is Alachas like Rabbi Shimon, which means that you cannot give a single number in terms of safe distances between you, the fire you saw on your property and your neighbor's property. It's going to be relative to the size of the fire that you made. Good. Interesting discussion amongst the Rishonim, the Rif, the Rambam. And that is that when the Gemara is just passing like Rabbi Shimon, so does that also knock out the barriers of the wall and the river? In other words, when Rabbi Shimon says that you can't just give a standard distance, did he also mean that you also can't give a standard barrier as well, like we learned in the previous Mishnah? And is he also rejecting the previous Mishnah? Good. I opened the discussion, but we're going to move on. Hamad lekesagadish vayu bokel vedalka Rabbi Yehuda amar mishal mashi besochem v'chacham emem eno mishalim ela gadish shalchitim o shel saorim. Okay, so so here we get to a Mishnah which we've known about forever because we kept referencing this machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, but here's the Mishnah, and the Mishnah teaches us that when I start a fire and there were kalim that were hidden underneath the pile of grain. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're going to be chayev. Why? Because Rabbi Yehuda does not have a ptur of tamun. Earlier in this parak, we went over the psukim. How does Rabbi Yehuda understand the psukim? How does the chachamim understand the psukim? Good. That's the lifting up the hood and seeing underneath. But in terms of just their shitas, Rabbi Yehuda is of the position there's no ptur tamun. So that means that if I start a fire and it lights a haystack and there were kalim buried underneath, you're chayev. And the Chachamim Amrim Eino Mishalim Ela Gedish Shalchitim Ashal Sa'arim. And according to the Chachamim, no. You're chayev for the grain that you burn, but anything that was hidden underneath, you're going to be pater. In other words, Ptur Taman. Hayi Gedi Kafas Lo Ve'evet Samach Lo V'nisar Fimo Chayev. Okay. And here, another Mishnah, which we quoted much earlier in the Masechta, but we get to see it again. And that is that if, let's say there was a Gedi, and the Gedi was all tied up, the Gedi had nowhere to run. And there was an Eved right next to the Gedi. Obviously, the Eved was not tied up. And you started a fire, and you burnt both the Gedi and the Eved. Okay. So now you're going to be chayev on the Eved. And the Gedish that is right next to it. Meaning, when the Mishnah said Eved samach lo, it means proximate to the haystack that the Mishnah previously referenced. Okay, so you're going to be chayev. In other words, on all the property damage that you did. What about the fact that you killed a person? In other words, that's not insignificant, right, to say the very least. But over here, as we already explained earlier in the Masechta, and that is that if the Eved was not tied up and there was a fire, so do you know what the Eved should have done? He should have walked up, and walk away, probably run away. In other words, there is an expectation that you can anticipate a fire, and you could take precaution. And the Eved should have. The fact that the Eved decided that he's going to stay there in the fire, So you are not going to be chayiv for the murder of the Eved. Okay, now. Eved kafasoga di samachlo v'nisrafimo. So pater. Now the Mishnah tells us, what if the Eved was all tied up? And you started a fire. And the fire now burned the Eved, the Gedish, I'm missing one. The Gedi, right? The Gedi and the Gedish. Okay? So under those circumstances, now you're going to be potter. You don't have to pay for the damages. Why not? So Rashi over here writes in detail, right? Rashi covers every point over here. I'll say it succinctly. I mean, Rashi already does, but and that is Kimlei b'derabamine. In other words, you're a murderer. In other words, you killed the Eved Kenani. Now over here, he was tied up. He couldn't run away. So therefore, you're a murderer. And because you're a murderer, so we know the rule is Kimlei b'derabamine. When there are two liabilities that are caused by a single action, over here, the murder and the destruction of property, so Beis Din can only charge you for the more severe, not the less severe. And Rashi also reminds us over here that let's say there weren't witnesses, or there weren't two witnesses, or you weren't given asra, and you're not going to actually be put to death. Still, kimlei b'derabamine. We will say kimlei b'derabamine even if you are not actually put to death. But in other words, as long as a crime is subject to capital punishment. So we still, you're going to be putter from the money. Okay. Rashi also spends a little bit of time over here wondering, in the first case where the Gedi was tied up. In other words, over there, if the Gedi was not tied up, is it a fair expectation that the Gedi should run away? Rashi deliberates that point. Right? See Rashi over here who's, you know, goes back and forth on that particular point. Modim chacham le Rabbi Yehuda b'malak esabir shehu mishalem kol mashe b'socho. And then finally, our conclusion of the Mishnah, and that is that, let's say, Rachmanus, you burn somebody's house on fire. So are we going to say that everything inside falls under the category of Taman? No. When I first heard that, it struck me. Meaning, yes.
Bundle.
Yes. Right? Isn't it Taman? So the Mishnah says, no, it's not. That's not considered Taman. In other words, the furniture and everything in the house is not considered tamun because there's an expectation that a house is going to be furnished. Because there's an expectation that a house is going to be furnished, therefore, it doesn't fall under the category of tamun. Which now teaches us that the patur of tamun beish really has a svara attached to it. And what's the svara? In other words, it was unexpected. In other words, what a weirdo. He's hiding his cash under his hay pile, under the pile of hay. In other words, I didn't expect that. And the pile of hay or the pile of grain that I saw. And I understand. I burnt it. I'm liable. But in other words, he was hiding cash underneath. Didn't see that coming. Amar Rav Kahana. Let's do a little bit more. Amar Rav Kahana machlokes b'malik b'soch shalov ha'alcha v'achla b'soch shal chaveiro d'Rabbi Yehuda mechayiv aniske tamon b'ish v'rabban patrei. So Rav Kahana, what he would like to do is try to significantly limit the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that you're going to, there's a machlokas Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim. But that's only when you start the fire on your property, and the fire made its way to somebody else's property. However, Ava b'malik b'soch shel chaveiro, divrei kol mishalem mashe b'socho, but if I started the fire in the other person's property, so then kulei ama. Both according to the Chachamim and Rav Yehuda, you're going to be chayv even for Taman, even for that which was hidden underneath. So Amale Rav Yehachi Adini Seifa Modim Chacham Rav Yehuda B'Madlik Esabir Shemasham Kol Mashe Besocha Shekein Derech Bnei Adam Lanich Bebatim Liflog V'Lisne B'Didam. So Rav says to Rav Kahana, if you're right, so then why wouldn't the Mishnah make such a distinction? Meaning Rav Kahana, your distinction is so crisp, it's so good, the Mishnah should have done that. And that is, the Mishnah should have said, when is there a machlokes between Rav Yehuda and the Chacham, and that's only when you start the fire in your property. But if you were to start the fire in somebody else's property, and it burned their haystack with something hidden underneath, everyone's going to say, you're chayv. The Mishnah should have made that distinction. So, right, So Rava will tell you that really they're arguing both. they're arguing pligi b'malik b'soch shelo v'halcha v'achla b'soch shel chavero. So, if I light on my property and the fire goes into my neighbor's property, Rabbi Yehuda mechayev tamun, v'esh rabbanan sarvi la mechayev. Okay, so in other words, there, machlokis. Upligi nami b'malik shel chavero. Rabbi Yehuda sarvi mishalom kol ma shebesocho v'afilu arniki. So there, what Rabbi Yehuda will tell you is that you're going to be chayev on everything, even the wallet that was hiding under the pile. And Rabbanan sarvi kelim shadarkan lahatmin b'gedish kagon marigin, Clay Bakar, who the Mishalim, Kalim Shein Darkam Latmim, Bigdish La Mishalim, and according to the Chachamim, something like a tool, a rake. So those things which kind of were expected to be somewhere around the pile of grain or even under the pile of grain, so for that you're going to be Chayev. But if it was something that was unexpected, you're going to be Pater. That would be Shitas Chacham. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you're going to be chayv for any and everything that's under the grain. Good. So that's Rava's understanding of the Machlos between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. We're going to pause over here. Good. And not only pause over here, we finish it off. Okay. What do we do today? We start off with Psukim and Shmuel Beis regarding David and his Giborim and a back and forth in Halacha. What were they talking about? Three different opinions. We went through all three and litigated which of those three seemed to be the best way to understand those psukim. Then, on Samach Alpha Med Aleph, we did a mission regarding barriers separating my property and my neighbor's property, and whether or not those barriers create an expectation that no fire is going to pass over, and if it does, ones, there was circumstances beyond my control. Good, and we gave a list of what are considered halachically acceptable barriers. Walls, rivers, canals, v'chule v'chule. Amud Beis of today's daf. So, a merchak, distance. So is there going to be an acceptably safe distance when I make a fire on my property? So that it's a fair expectation that I was responsible. And if the fire happened to have went over that merchak, so I'm going to be potter. So, four opinions on the matter. And the Gemara says the fourth opinion is the halacha. Shitas Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says it is relative. The distance is not a single number, but the distance is going to be relative to the height of the fire. Okay. And then, on the Amud Beis of today's daf, we went over the classic machlokus between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim of Taman Be'esh. In addition, we also touched on the principle of Kim Leib Bezerab Aminei.